was still smiling when I got into the lift, still smiling, thinking of the baby and the mother. In the lift, another woman who saw me smiling said to me, "Which floor is the supermarket on?" And actually, I didn't know. So I asked a stranger in the lift, "Which floor is the supermarket on?" And you know this other woman who wanted to go to the supermarket? She was so happy that I asked a stranger on her behalf, "Where's the supermarket?" She was so happy that she also couldn't stop smiling. So praise the Lord, it was a wonderful day for me. Have you had days like that? Days where you smile and the world smiles back at you. Wow. Do you know that Isaiah talks about such a reality? Not as a one-off thing, but as a lifestyle. So if we see here the verse, Isaiah 55, verse 12. It says, "You shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Isaiah 55, verse 12. Wow! The trees before you will clap their hands. That sounds to me like happy trees. Have you ever seen happy trees? Is it my imagination, or do you agree with me that when trees dance in the wind, have you seen trees dancing in the breeze? They look to me to be very happy trees. But the opposite, if the trees stand still, no movement, not even a single leaf, well, then that seems to me to be a very sad tree. Do you agree? Amen. So today, as we continue with our insights from Isaiah sermon series, let's look on how we can have a lifestyle of joy. Insights from Isaiah, a lifestyle of joy. Amen. Isn't this the life that we all want? Not just one happy day, but actually a lifestyle of joy. Isaiah tells us there are two things that we can do, both starting with the letter S. Firstly, spend wisely. Spend wisely. Isaiah 55, verse 2. "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy?" The setting for this is very likely the Babylonian exile. Way back in history, there was a time where God kept sending the prophets to the people of Judah to warn them to turn from their wickedness, warn them to repent. But they did not. And God said, if you do not, you will have to go into exile to a foreign country that will conquer you. And this foreign country is Babylonia. Now the people of Judah, of course, they resisted going into exile. I'm sure we would also. If a foreign nation conquered Singapore, we would not want to be exiled into this foreign nation. We would be much happier right here in Singapore. And so it was for the people of Judah. They resisted at first going into exile. But as time passed, they settled down in Babylon. They got so comfortable, they began to crave the material wealth of Babylon. They craved the material things of Babylon. And to these people, Isaiah said, "Why do you spend money on that which does not satisfy you?" You know, today, spending money is so easy. It's so easy. We just have credit cards. We just have to sign. Sometimes we don't even know how much we're signing for. It's so easy. You sign and that's it. Your money's gone. Actually, today it is even easier than that to spend money. Not just credit card signing, but now, of course, we have PayWave. And with PayWave, you don't have to sign at all. You just wave your credit card and your money disappears. You don't even know how much money. You wave your credit card and your money disappears. But not so in Bible times. In Bible times, spending was a serious matter. And the Hebrew biblical word for spend or to buy is shavah. And shava means yes, to spend or to buy, but shava also means to be broken. And it's the same word that you use when a ship is broken by strong winds. So to me, shava really conveys the idea of what happens when we spend money. Something is broken. You don't just wave, but something is actually broken. We actually lose something when we spend. And so Isaiah asks, why do you spend money on that which doesn't satisfy you? I'm sure this question could easily apply to us also. Why do we spend money on what doesn't satisfy? How do you spend money? You know, there are scholars, there are academics from different universities, and their full credentials are in your sermon notes, so I will not name them by name, but let me quote what they say. They say that if money doesn't make you happy, then you probably aren't spending it right. And I think that's true. You can spend money in a way that makes you happy, that's wise spending, or if you spend it foolishly, you can actually feel even sadder after that. This is a secular study, it's not a spiritual study, but many of their findings are consistent with biblical teaching. And so let me show you what their findings are. They said, help others instead of yourself. Those who devote more money to pro-social spending for others were happier. I think that is so true. When we spend money just on ourselves, it doesn't feel so good. But when you can spend money on other people, especially people who are really poor and need your help, it gives you a good feeling to spend money on them. Jesus himself said in Acts 20:35, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I don't know if you agree with that. Maybe you think it's very blessed if someone gives you $100. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Here's another finding from these academics. It says, buy experiences instead of things. An experience is an event you live through, while a good is a tangible object you keep. What does this mean? When you buy experiences rather than things, it means you are spending money to be with a person, perhaps to go on a holiday together, perhaps to have a meal together. Spending money on a common experience. And the experience, you know, builds up the relationship, which is precious in God's eyes. And the experience gives you beautiful memories 20, 30 years later. But if you just buy the person a present, I don't think it means so much. So, buy experiences instead of things. Spend wisely. Isaiah 55 verse 1 tells us exactly what we should spend on. It says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. What a mind-boggling verse. It tells us to buy something, wine and milk, even though you have no money. How is it possible to buy something when you have no money? Have you tried this? Whereas once I made a very stupid mistake. I suppose most mistakes are stupid. This one was extremely stupid. I work here in the cathedral. I'm a pastor. So one day at lunch, I couldn't find any of my friends to have lunch with. They were all very busy. So I walked across the road to Raffles City to have lunch on my own. I walked all the way from cathedral to Raffles City. I went to the food court, and I was just about to order my food when I realized, oh no, I forgot to bring my money. And this was terrible, and I looked around at all the customers, and I was thinking, who would be kind enough to give me a free meal? But I looked at their faces, and I knew I could not find anyone there kind enough to give me a free meal. So I had to walk all the way back to church, get my money, and walk all the way out again. Of course, this was the time before we had a cathedral cafe. If we had a cathedral cafe in those days, I'd say, give me food on credit. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, come and buy even though you have no money. How can we do that? I believe the answer is in the first part of the verse. It says, come to the waters. Firstly, come to the waters. And this water, I believe, symbolizes eternal life that we can have in Jesus. You know, when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, he said this to the Samaritan woman. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Come to the waters. Jesus is the living water. He's the water of life. When we come to him in a personal relationship, believing in Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, this is when we have eternal life. This, I believe, is the meaning of come to the waters. And when we have this, then Isaiah says we can buy wine and we can buy milk. Wine, you know, speaks of joy and gladness. In the Bible, when they had weddings, joyful occasions, the wine flowed freely. And you remember how the very first sign that Jesus did in the book of John chapter 2, was when Jesus turned water into wine, because the wine is just given freely to the guests, and it speaks of joy and it speaks of happiness. Milk speaks of that which nourishes you. When you were a baby, you were brought up on milk, I'm sure, mother's milk. And then later, as a child, I grew up on Bear brand milk. Those of you who are older, you may remember Bear brand milk. I grew up on that. Maybe that explains why I look like a bear now. Well, milk is something that nourishes. Okay, so milk is good. So how do we have a lifestyle of joy? The first thing we must do is spend wisely. Spend wisely. We cannot buy eternal life with money, but we can buy eternal life with our faith. Faith in Jesus. So let us spend our days wisely, spend our life wisely, spend our money wisely. Come to the waters. You know, in the natural, there is something about water that makes us feel very relaxed, calm, and de-stressed. This is a photo of my beloved dog. His name is Jeffrey. And this is him with my helper. And he's in heaven now. But when he was on earth, I used to bring him to the waters, literally bring him to the waters, to the seaside. And there's something so calming about it that even this very hyper, naughty Jack Russell dog, somehow when he came to the waters, he would just relax. And for myself, I love to pray at the seaside. You know, I love the smell. It's a salty, nice smell. It just makes me happy. And I love the sound of the waves coming in. I love to pray by the waters. It relaxes me, takes away my stress. Come to the waters, Jesus said. So the first thing we do to have a lifestyle of joy, spend wisely. The second thing is seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Isaiah 55 verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. We like to think that God is always near. We like to think that God is always there for us. And that even if we sin, all we have to do is say sorry to God and he'll be there waiting for us with outstretched arms. Is that so? Well, if you read the parable of the prodigal son, yes, it is true. The man is sinful. He's wayward. But when he decides to return, there is his father waiting for him with outstretched arms. So in that sense, yes, it is true. But also, we need to consider other parts of the Bible. And Isaiah says, seek the Lord when? when he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. That means we cannot always find him. He is not always near to us. In the Bible, there's a very interesting book. It's called the Song of Songs. It's also called the Song of Solomon. It's a love story. And one of the very intriguing parts of this love story is in chapter 5. In chapter 5, the scene is this. The lover is at the door. He's outside, he's at the door, and he's knocking. Tok, 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 tok. He's knocking on the door. And inside is the woman. And he's wanting to come into her house, he's knocking on the door. But the woman is very slow to open the door. And if you read the Bible accounts, the reason that she gives for not opening the door, well, the reasons are really very funny. She says, you know, I've already changed into my bed clothes. I'm ready to sleep. I've already washed my feet. And how can I open the door? Now, that's what she says. So she's very slow in responding to his knocking. Finally, she decides, okay, I will open the door to him. But when she opens the door, she finds that her lover has gone. He's disappeared. And so she searches for him, but she can't find him anywhere. Do you think this story speaks about God and us? Does it speak about the way God is knocking at the door of our lives? He wants to enter our lives. He wants to enter our heart. But we are very slow to open up the door to him. And we give excuses. Oh God, don't call me today to follow you. Ask me today to obey you. You know, Lord, I'm really very busy. It's not convenient for me to do your will today. Lord, I'm very busy. I've got a lot of work. I've got my family. Great demands. Not today. Is that how our relationship with God is? I think unless we want to be like this woman in the book of Song of Solomon, this woman who delayed so long that when she finally opened the door, she found that her lover had already left. Unless we want to be like this woman, I suggest we respond to God now. And how do we respond? Isaiah 55 verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. In other words, we can respond indeed through our actions and also through our thoughts. Change our behavior. Change the things that we do. You may protest and you may say, I do not do wicked things. I do not do cruel things to other people. I'm basically a good person. And you can say, look at me now. I'm sitting in church. Am I not good? Well, physically, we may be here. In your thoughts, I really don't know where you are. I don't know whether you are here in St. Andrew's Cathedral or whether you've traveled to Japan or to Switzerland. I really have no idea. Maybe right now, in your thoughts, you are in a great restaurant having a delicious dinner. I don't know. Isaiah says, we respond to God, firstly, by a change of behavior, and then also by changing our thoughts. We turn to the Lord with our thoughts. And when we do, a strange thing will happen. The trees in our life will change. Well, how can the trees in our life change? Do you remember how we started this meditation? Isaiah said, you shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you in singing, and the trees of the field will what? They will clap their hands. Happy trees that will clap their hands. And now Isaiah continues with the idea. Isaiah 55 verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. Of course, Isaiah isn't just talking about trees. He's talking about people. Don't we all have people in our life who are very thorny? You know, thorny. You go near them and you get pricked and they hurt you and sometimes you bleed. Some people in our life are pure irritating. I mean, sorry to say. Some are pure annoying. Some are worse than that. And they actually intend to hurt us. And they do so. They hurt us deeply until it's as though our heart can bleed because the people hurt us so badly. But Isaiah says, instead of the thorn, there will be the cypress. Now on your screens, if you can see the screen, the picture on your left shows the thorny tree. And the one on the right, in green, shows the cypress. The thorn, you know, brings pain. You go anywhere near a thorn, you will get cut, you will bleed. It brings you pain. The cypress, is an evergreen tree. It's a beautiful tree. And it signifies that you can have joy right through the year, all the time, just like an evergreen tree. Wouldn't that be nice? Instead of meeting thorny people, you meet cypress people. People who are good to you, will love you, be nice to you, as evergreen trees all year round. Isaiah also says, instead of the briar, there'll be the myrtle. And here again, the picture on the left shows the briar. And you can see, it's just like a thorn. It's very thorny also. It's very prickly. It will cause you tremendous pain. And then on the right is the myrtle. And the myrtle is actually also an evergreen tree. It's got aromatic leaves. Beautiful, aromatic, glossy leaves. It's got flowers. And also, it's got fruit. It's got berries. Wouldn't you like to meet such people in your life? Instead of thorny people like briars, to meet the myrtle people in your life. Evergreen, showing you love and beauty, flowers, fruit, aromatic, sweet smelling unto you. Amen. Isn't this the life that you want? A lifestyle of joy. You know, just recently my family had a big birthday celebration. It's a big birthday celebration because for so many months we didn't celebrate birthdays because we were so busy, and also we took turns to fall sick. So we never got round to celebrating the birthday until just recently. And so we had a mammoth celebration for the birthdays in June, in August, and two birthdays in October. And when we were at this big birthday celebration, a young family member said to can we have the photo again, please? Yes, my sister is all the way to the back. All right, that's one from the back. That's my sister. And she was celebrating her October birthday. And a young family member said to her, can you tell us your secret? You see, my sister, who was celebrating her birthday, she looked so young. She still looks so young. She looks so joyful. And she looks so healthy. And so this young person said to her, can you tell us your secret? And my sister said, every day, be joyful. Every day, praise God. Every day, give thanks to God. And I think this is so wise. If we can do this, every day, be joyful. Not hold on to grudges. Not keep cursing the thorns in our life. But be quick to forgive. If we can be every day joyful, every day give thanks to God, every day praise God for His blessings to us, I think we will live for many birthdays to come. And not just live a long life, but a joyful life. Really have a lifestyle of joy. Amen. Is this your desire? Let us pray. Let's come to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and come before the Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that it is not a dream.